I call to order the Finance Administration and Oversight Committee meeting, April 12, 2007. I note the presence of a quorum. The agenda, I would ask that, I don't know whether we have the specific information. Do you have the paper for the additional agenda item? Well, we don't have the paper for any additional agenda item.
You have the issue for...
We do?
Yes, right.
We haven't missed the chairman and is coming to you. Sorry about the confusion of time you said.
Well, I'm reluctant to add an additional item without the paperwork.
It's coming.
While we're awaiting that, is there a motion to approve the minutes as if read? It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Discussion, discussion. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. On the agenda items, I would move to add as an action item an amendment to the FY07 SAP for replacement of the Southeastern Bus Garage and Police Training Facility. This would be 3B, thank you, Mr. Zimmerman, and 3C, to authorize negotiations to amend Metro Matters funding agreement to include bus expansion, would be 3C. Is there objection to adding these agenda items?
Mr.
Chairman? Objection? Mr. Kaufman?
Since, as I understand it, this is an effort to amend the Metro Matters plan as a standalone item, I don't think that I'm in any way ready to step forward and do that, since this was certainly Metro Matters program was something that was exactingly negotiated over several months to look at a distribution of dollars and to arbitrarily move some dollars. I think we have to have a significant amount of information and time to review it before we act.
Hearing objection, we will not proceed to agenda. Yes?
I don't have a problem, and I don't know that Mr. Kaufman does, with the discussion of the item, the presentation of the item. I think the question is just whether we can act upon it today.
That's well, this committee chairman would prefer not to have information items, as you know, without action attached to them. And so I'm happy to either have this come up today as an action item or have it delayed until such time as it can be considered as an action item. I want to avoid the situation where we end up discussing something twice.
Okay.
You agree? Mr. Linton?
Mr. Chairman, if I may add, though, I would like for the jurisdiction staff to be able to examine this.
That's exactly right.
Since we did go through the deliberations of developing Metro Matters regional representatives with our staff engaged, and I would like at least to make sure that our staff have reviewed this before we make amends.
Okay. I hear an objection to the agendizing of this item. It will not be agendized. That leaves us with the amendment to the FY07 SAP, replacement of the Southeastern Bus Garage and Police Training Facility. Is there an objection to agendizing this item?
No, I just wanted to speak to the previous motion. I think...
Well, there isn't any motion, Mr. Monomet.
I understand.
What we have is, I asked if there was objection to agendizing this item, and there was objection. If you wish to move to agendize it, you are free to do so.
I move to agendize it again. I want to
It's been moved, just 1 second. It's been moved to authorize negotiations to amend Metro Matters as an agenda item. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Monomet?
Well, a couple of points I did want to make. I believe the reason why it's even on the table now, and this is obviously before my time, there was a resolution passed by the board many years ago to make this bus garage the very next bus garage to be considered. If there were any additional funds available at Metro Matters to move forward on any bus garage replacement. And so I don't think this is being done without any previous work or any previous discussion. So I think it is germane, and it's a topic that should be on the table for discussion. It's not an arbitrary adjustment to Metro Matters. This was an agreement and consent of the full board. I do not have the resolution number on hand, but it can be provided for the board for information.
Mr. Cato?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, again, this is an authorization to do exactly what some members of the board have asked to do, and that is to have the discussions with the various staffs. No action will take place. This is discussions concerning an action, and I don't have the resolution in front of me that the board took in the past to review the building of a new garage and make recommendations on funding. This will provide us that opportunity to have various discussions with the jurisdictions and then bring back to you the results of those discussions. No action will take place until we have a discussion with this board and it's approved by this board. This is just authorization to have the discussion.
So this is like first reading, in other words. We just receive it and then you go out and do the discussions and then come back, further discussion with us, and then action.
We have to come back to you with the results of those discussions and any recommended actions that we take.
Mr. Zimmerman?
I guess what I don't understand, and if it's just, you know, can we go talk to the jurisdictions about possibly amending, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with that, but I also don't understand why I need a formal resolution of the board, which I think conveys the impression that the decision's already been made, and I wonder why this couldn't have been distributed a few days ago even, not weeks ago, so that jurisdictional staff would have looked at it and told members who sit here, yeah, this is probably okay, or no, it's not, or make sure you ask about this as we try to do in preparing these meetings. You know, described as the general manager just did, it sounds harmless enough. But, you know, again, when something of this sort just drops in front of us before the meeting, that we're reluctant to move ahead.
Mr. Chairman?
Let's see. Mr. Kaufman, Ms. Hewlett.
I don't think any member of this body would have a problem with folks going ahead and talking. I agree with Mr. Zimmer. I don't think we need a formal resolution for that. Just go thou and talk.
Talking is helpful.
Okay. Just one second. Ms. Hewlett.
I didn't have a question.
Oh, you didn't. I beg your pardon. Mr. Monome.
It might be helpful if we could have staff tell us what exactly is necessary for them to go forward. The issue here is there's obviously time associated with the Nationals ballpark and our proximity of the garage to the ballpark. And we want to make sure that we're able to still provide service adequately to the region out of that garage. And I think that we don't want to do anything to harm our ability to do that. And so I guess my question is, what allows us to move forward on relocating the garage and continue to provide service without putting a hitch in the process? And I think that's, I guess, my first question. Is there anything, by delaying this action today, are we in any way impacting our operations?
And the other added agenda item.
Could you identify yourself for the record, please?
I'm John Dittmar, Assistant Project Manager and the Project Manager for replacement of the Southeast Bus Garage. And on the other agenda item that's been added, we'll be explaining the schedule. In September, we have major actions, including approval of the project, amendment of the transit plan, but also a commitment towards funding. We'll be authorizing expenditure of funds for construction contracts. And so we've sought this start of negotiations and amendment of the Metro Matters funding agreement now to allow those months between here April and September, right? What happens if we delay this until May? We just have that shortened time frame to have these negotiations, ideally arriving at an amendment in September.
Mr. Chair, if I could, I feel comfortable moving ahead with authorization to discuss with the jurisdictions, not needing your approval to do that, and then we can bring back the specific issues. The key here is we need this facility, we need to move forward, we need authorization, but we can take the steps of meeting with the various jurisdictions, having the discussions, taking some actions, but we also were requesting, if I understand correctly, some authorization to move forward with a proposal to do design, but it's no, we're not ordering a design, but take some steps. And looking at this and thinking this through in the discussion this morning, I feel comfortable that we can take those steps and then bring back the actions to you.
That would seem to resolve this matter. Mr. Monomoy, are you willing to withdraw your motion?
I will.
Okay, the motion is withdrawn. Is there objection to, so that is the authorized negotiations, that's off the table. Is there objection to placing on the agenda the SAP amendment? Objection, objection, hearing none. This will be agenda item 3B. Our first agenda item is to amend the FY07 SEP for Largo Project closeout legal fees. Mr. Cato.
Mr. Chair, again, I'm going to ask that our finance department have this discussion. We have informed members.
Sure, I can explain this. We have claims pending on the Largo extension. The Largo extension was a Maryland reimbursable project, and this is simply a budgetary action to accept into WMATA's capital budget funds from MDOT to support ongoing litigation. The funds have been received from MDOT. The money would be completely under the control of WMATA's general counsel only for the use in this particular matter.
So this is entirely reimbursed
absolutely
by the state of Maryland?
Absolutely, entirely reimbursable.
Is there a motion to recommend this resolution to the board? Is there a motion? Perhaps someone from Maryland would like to. You are members of every committee.
We are.
I don't know whether that makes you happy or unhappy. But you are voting members of every committee under this year's rule.
So moved, Mr.
It's been moved by Ms. Hewlett. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Motion is approved. Now we go to agenda item 3B, which is to amend the FY07 SAP for replacement of the Southeastern Bus Garage and Police Training Facility. Mr. Cato.
I'll be presenting this agenda item. Again, John Dittmeyer with the Department of Capital, Chief Engineers and Project Management. Next slide. We came to the board in January to establish the project for the replacement of Southeast Bus Garage, but the urgency for the timely replacement has increased, and the strategy for the implementation of that replacement has evolved. Therefore, we're seeking an amendment of the budget in order to have available full amount of the funds currently in our account, which is 6.3. That is added to the previous approved $500,000. Also, we wish to establish a project for the police training facility and combine it with this bus garage replacement. I'll show you the location in a moment. And with this amended SAP, authorize supplemental tasks to the on-call consultant, including final design, preliminary engineering. The district has proposed 16 acres of DC Village as a replacement site. The project will progress through two phases. First phase, 114 existing buses at Southeast Bus Garage being moved into a phase one facility in a year's time. And that date and year is the start of the new ballpark in Southeast Washington. We want to avoid the conflicts between our Metro buses and the events at that new ballpark. Then, having established phase one and vacated Southeast Bus Garage, we'll enter into construction of phase two. And that will have capacity ultimately for 250 buses, including the articulated buses recommended in the fleet management plan update. That would open in March 2010. 5 miles south, southern part of the district. Next slide. This is the environs. It's alongside I-295. It has various industrial and public purpose uses around it. I won't go through all of those, but we believe, and we have shown that we place within that 16 acres a 250 bus facility. Next slide. Police training facility would be on the second level of the maintenance building, of the maintenance bays, and we need that for our police officers to continue their certification in firearms. Also, we're having a relocation of a Metro sales office currently at the Southeast Bus Garage, closing its location to Anacostia Station. And that will be the first sales office of Metro east of the river. Without that relocation, the Southeast would have no sales office. And we expect even more use of that sales office because Anacostia Station is the second busiest for Metrobus. Next slide. The regional benefits of these projects. A new facility. There's been a 30-year effort to replace the Southeast Bus Garage, and we're confident that the 16 acres is very viable. Also, we'll have the capacity to serve other demands, such as National Harbor, and the police training facility will ensure certification of our officers and also be available to other agencies. Here's the schedule, and it notes that issue of negotiation of Metro matters will postpone, but actually we'll have a discussion, But in April, we're establishing a training facility. We're funding more early actions. In May, we return with the environmental assessment, the general plans, the financial plan, asking you to approve staff to hold a hearing on those documents and the project. Advertise phase one. That's not a commitment, just a start of procurement. And also approve the interim agreement between the WMATA and the district for conveyance of that 16 acres. Then after the hearing process, we return in September with the recommendation to amend the transit plan, award phase one, fund and advertise phase two, execute that conveyance agreement, and if successful, amend the Metro Matters funding agreement. Next slide. Now, this is our recommendations once again.
Mr. Chairman?
Just one second, Mr. Yule. Thank you very much. Let me be clear about a couple of things. First, what would be the action of this committee in May?
In May, let's return to that slide, please. It would be approval to hold the public hearing on the project, including the environmental assessment, the general plans, the financial plan. Also, approval to start the advertisement of phase one construction contract. Previous slide, please.
So how is that to be distinguished from the action that is being taken today?
Today, we need additional funds for project management by WMATA staff, additional funds for our on-call consultant. And we also want
is that the $6 million plus?
Yes. And also formally identify the training facility as a project and its combination with this bus facility.
Okay. Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Yule. I have an amendment which I'd like to place on the table at the is there a motion to recommend this action to the Board of Directors?
Yeah, I move that we recommend this action.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second has been moved and seconded. The amendment, and this is a pretty simple amendment. I don't have copies for everybody, but it states that there shall be no further action on this matter by this board until such time as there is an approved final plan for the relocation of any current shelter beds displaced by the construction of the Southeast Bus Garage at DC Village. I move that amendment. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Let me speak to this issue just right up front. Is that to my surprise and somewhat to my dismay, I was informed last week that contrary to prior assurances that there would be no displacement of the family shelter that exists on this location, that in fact it was the intention of the Department of Human Services of the District of Columbia to close the shelter entirely. Not only the two cottages that were within the footprint of the proposed bus garage, but the rest of the cottages as well, due to concerns about asthma and the fact that there were children, asthmatic children in this location, due to concerns about noise and various other concerns. That led me to initially ask that this matter be taken off the agenda. In order to proceed because of the urgency of this issue and the fact that we really do need to relocate the Southeast Bus Garage, I was hopeful that this amendment would be accepted so that it was absolutely clear that Metro was not going to proceed with this location until we had from the Department of Human Services and from the mayor a final plan, and I call it a final plan in the motion, concerning the relocation of these family shelter beds. I think it's very important that this board evidence a sensitivity to the issue of the fact that even though this is a cloud with a silver lining, the District of Columbia is interested in moving these shelter beds. The fact of the matter is that there are people living there right now, and they're living there with their families. They have made the adjustment. It is not an ideal facility. We think there can be a much better facility for these individuals, a much better home for these individuals, but that, in fact, is not in place at the present time. And I'm not willing to support this until I see that type of final plan for this family shelter at this location. That's the purposes of my amendment. Discussion on the amendment. Discussion on the amendment. Mr. Yule.
Not on the amendment.
We're on the amendment.
On the amendment.
Mr. Monomay?
Just on behalf of the Fenty administration, this issue is at the forefront of our minds. I think I want to give to the board a sense of comfort that we have addressed those individuals that are currently sited at the homeless shelters now. We're in the process of relocating them to new facilities. The challenge is the fact that it's an ongoing cycle. It's not just who's there today, but who's going to be coming into the shelters in the coming weeks and months. So what we're working on now is developing a plan for locations to send those people, as they come into the pool, to new sites. And that's what we will be able to bring to the full board for consideration the next time we discuss this issue.
Further discussion on the amendment. Ms. Hewlett.
How many people are we talking about?
We're talking about 200 people and approximately 70 beds, 70 families, okay, comprising 200 people.
Okay.
Not insubstantial.
Okay.
Not insubstantial. And it is my intention, by the way, Mr. Monomay, that if this amendment is adopted by this committee and presumably by the board, that we will have no action in May unless we have this final plan. Mr. Zimmerman.
Mr. Chairman, I view this largely as a district matter.
Yes.
Would in any case be inclined to defer to the members in that jurisdiction on a matter such as this. I will say that I'm happy to support the amendment. I think that it is important for this board to be seen as being sensitive, as I know we are, to the issues that are involved here. And as a practical matter, I don't see this moving forward without the district solving that particular problem. I strongly suspect that the chairman of this committee, in his capacity as a member of the council, will make sure that it doesn't. And there's no reason for us not to be clear that we are as appreciative of the sensitivity of this issue as those who sit in other places.
Further discussion on the amendment. Further discussion on the amendment. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. We are now on the motion as amended. Mr. Yule.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Just need clarification. What's the cost of incorporating the proposed police training facility as part of this bus garage facility? And then it makes statements that rather than incur high overtime costs for the use of other ranges, I suspect thing just said, beyond the Curicus control of WMATA, that WMATA will collect revenue from use of its facilities, and we need clarification in terms of who or whom will be utilizing this facility other, in addition to WMATA Metro Police.
To answer the second part, we will bring that back. You're right. If someone uses our facilities, then there will be some type of either charge or some type of an agreement where we receive services from them. And we're getting to that degree of detail. We've not done that. In addition, the actual cost of the training facility, we have estimates, but until we get into some design element, any estimate, I won't put any money on that yet. We're going through that process now. This is one discussion we've had with the district about adding this facility. It addresses issues that's been in front of this board before. And as we get those fine-tuned, we will bring that back. Well, we do not have that number today.
I appreciate your response, Mr. Cater, but I suspect that the rationale for asking for an increase, the 6. Whatever million, obviously has factored in the cost, the estimated projected cost of this training facility. That seems to be the driver.
Yes, yes. You're correct, Mr. Cater.
The 6.3 million, we'll be using just a small part to pay for the project development of the training facility as we prepare the environmental assessment, the general plans, with the national plan. But it doesn't relate to the capital cost of constructing the facility.
This is just planning dollars.
Planning, design, and any early actions that may appear over the next 4 months, because we have this urgency to replace this project and would have available such funds for any additional early actions.
All right, then, I need clarity. The $6.3 million is not additional dollars to move forward to construct. This is just all for planning purposes.
Planning, project development, design, and any other early actions. We want to have the funds available because we prefer not to return to the board if we have to address some items, okay, as we seek to develop the project. We're not implementing the project until September board actions.
Right, but in the current funds that are available for Southeast Bus Garage is $65.3 million. That's all construction, right?
Mr. Neal, if I could, Jack Rico. Currently assigned to the DC Village Development Project is only $500,000. And what we're looking for is taking the remainder of the funds that were received in the sale of property at Navy Yard to apply that towards this project to allow the development and design and the other actions that Mr. Dittmeyer mentioned so that we can keep progressing towards an action in September that would actually lead to an approval of a project and actual construction. There's nothing going to be done on the site until after September board action. And what we're looking for is to reassign the dollars from the sale of that property to the SAP so that we can continue the process and for the district to work out their issues and that we can be ready in the event that everything falls into place, that we can be ready in September to get board approval to move forward with the project. And primarily phase one that will allow us to be off of the property of Southeast Bus Garage in time for the start of the baseball season.
Okay, that's clear.
Further discussion, Mr. Benjamin.
Forgive me if I'm catching up here a little bit. I just want to understand how this project is working. Is there a project budget for this project that has been approved already?
In terms of full implementation?
Yeah.
No, because that's why we're doing the project development at this time, to bring to you in May, a month from now, the financial plan that will include the capital cost and also the operating cost.
And so this isn't moving money up from a future year that this has already been approved for. This is
that's
just being added to the SAP at this point this year.
That's right. Only in January did we establish the project for replacing the bus facility.
And you found a source for that, which is property sale.
Correct.
So there's no impact on any jurisdiction of increasing the budget at this point? It's all coming out of found funds?
Yes.
And has the board considered alternative uses for those funds at all?
No, the board designated that the sale proceeds of this WMATA employee parking lot at Southeast Bus Garage be devoted to the replacement of this bus facility.
Okay, so this is uses of those proceeds at this time, and that the board has already agreed to that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Hewlett?
No,
no, no, I'm very anxious for you to speak.
Don't worry.
Mr. Kaufman?
We are two.
Just so I'm clear and understand, this is a step that was in line with some action we already took, and we're leading toward a vote in September. And just remind me, what is it we'll be voting on in September?
September, you'd be approving the project, amending the mass transit plan. And having done so, the board would be ready to award the Phase 1 construction contract, to fund and advertise the Phase 2 construction contract, execute conveyance agreement with 16 acres, and if achieved, amend the Metro Matters funding agreement.
Okay. I think I followed all that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Just a point of clarification. The buses coming from 4 Mile, how many are going to be moved to the district? Southeast Garage?
Mr. Mami, there's a few buses.
A few buses.
Under 10.
Okay.
That come out of 4 Mile that serve a portion of the district, and I think the planners would look at potentially reallocating those vehicles for that service to this facility if it was the most economical thing to do. Further discussion, Mr. Lincoln?
Is this a design build project?
Phase 1 would be design bid build, a temporary facility. Phase 2 for the 250 bus facility would be design build.
And in Phase 1, the design to build segment, who will be the staff that will be assigned to do the work?
In terms of construction or actual operations?
Construction, design, what's the staff allocation for that?
Yes.
Do we have anybody left?
It would be Jim Higgins. Jim Higgins' response.
Mr. Lent, that was the current CEDM staff. That's a replacement facility. So that's why we're treating this issue. Not a new extension. It's a new capacity facility. We're treating this as a replacement facility. And we propose to manage that part of the contract. That's what we're doing.
So we've made that distinction of a replacement facility. As far as our policy, that we will continue to do that particular work.
That's the discussion we're currently having with the government county on how we would transition things out of our office of construction. That we will continue with Southeast Bus Garage. Other facilities, such as Glenmont for the.
You're reading my mind, I like that.
That's currently our proposal.
Okay, because I'd be very interested in seeing where we're going with this.
Mr. Cato.
I now understand your question.
Thank you.
I got it. That process is still on the way, and that is something I will brief you on a little bit later on this agenda. I understand what you're asking now.
Okay, now that we have that understood, is there further discussion? Is there an expansion of our existing CNG capacity contemplated at this new Southeast Bus Garage, and if so, to what extent?
We know of the interest in CNG, so when we return in May with our financial plan and our general plans, we'll be showing an option for CNG at this new bus facility, along with the costing for CNG. We're in contact with Washington Gas for an extension of a gas line to this site.
It's my direction to review that very aggressively. There is the issue of the pipeline, but that is not a barrier for us to do this. We've made the decision that we're going to have clean vehicles, clean air vehicles, and we will assure you that part of this project, we'll bring back that. That's my direction as a recommendation of looking at the best technology. I lean in this area, we need the CNG capacity. Because of the number of vehicles that we have, And even with a hybrid technology, you can have CNG with hybrid vehicles, which makes the vehicles even cleaner.
But the point being that currently at the Southeast Bus Garage, there is no CNG.
There is no CNG there today.
Actually, that's entirely at Bladensburg insofar as the District of Columbia.
Yes.
And so you are, to use your word, you are approaching this aggressively in terms of exploring the possibility of a CNG expansion at a new Southeast Bus Garage facility.
Yes.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion as amended say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Now we have, we move to our information item, which is the operating financial report for January 07. Mr. Cato.
Good morning. I'll do this report for you. I would like to start a little deeper in the report than normally and draw your attention to page 14 of your handout. What's labeled as Table 1. There's some ridership data here that brings confirmation to a discussion earlier this morning about bus customers and changing trip patterns of our bus customers. At the request of Mr. Linton at the last meeting, he asked staff to dig a little deeper into the bus ridership trends and just come back and give some more information about kind of macro-level issues going on. And what this chart's doing is taking a snapshot between 05 and 06 and separating where the growth has been happening in the Metro bus system, and clearly the growth is happening in the suburban areas. There is continued growth also in the District of Columbia. It's a healthy number, but most of the growth is happening in the Virginia and the Maryland suburbs. So again, it's just confirmation of what was discussed this morning. This is just data that's bringing that to light. And the text in the table just refers to the ongoing housing and migratory patterns. I apologize for referring to our bus customers like snow geese, but the region is changing. Back on page one, getting to the financial issues, what I want to draw your attention to is right up here on the right-hand side, that 43. It's a little number, but it basically says we are exactly on budget at the subsidy line at the end of January. We've been having a revenue shortfall all year, and we've been trying to manage that revenue shortfall against budget by controlling expenditures, and to this point we've been able to do it. We have been cautioning that as we move to the back end of the fiscal year, it's going to become more difficult, and I will tell you that I've got the draft financial statements for February on my desk, and it appears that we are going to go negative. We do anticipate that we will have a budget overrun this year. There is an existing board-approved reserve of about $10 million. If needed, we will dip into that reserve by year end. But the trends that we're seeing from the first half of the year, we believe will continue through the second half of the year. That's the key point I wanted to bring out this morning.
Thank you very much, Mr. Harkin. Discussion on this report. Mr. Benjamin?
Mr. Harkin, one of the things that I was noting in here was some interesting data about average weekday ridership, which we used to judge how we're doing as a system. And I'm noting here that rail ridership between last year and this year for the last month went down by almost 3%, whereas in the text it points out that that's because 2 days that otherwise would have been classified as weekdays were reclassified as weekdays. And if you did apples-to-apples comparisons, there actually would have been an increase of 5%.
Yeah, it was one of those kind of micro-level debates that goes on upstairs between the various people that look at ridership, and we've converted some holiday, what used to be holiday service, to regular weekday service. It's a definitional issue. It really just affected this month.
Well, except that I think it's something that's likely to continue. It does raise an interesting policy question.
But there were four holidays out of the 365 days in the year, and it's those 4 days that got a definitional change. At the more macro level on a year-to-date basis, looking at total ridership, we're seeing the trends continue. So I think there's an aberration this month, and there continues to be a discussion about the definition of holiday.
What I'm concerned about is that the purpose of this is essentially to inform the board and the public as to what our ridership is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, our ridership went up on an average weekday basis. This says it went down, and it went down because of this change of definition.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that you're not going to say if a Saturday has a major demonstration and therefore we have high service, you did this because it was high service on those days, you're not going to take that Saturday and turn it into a weekday, right?
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay, so it's only for 4 days?
Yeah, there was a conscious decision as part of this year's budget to convert service on 4 holidays to regular weekday service.
And you're not taking a broad policy that says any time you're providing high service, you're going to call it a weekday?
No.
These are things we will continue to review, and we understand your question. And
I mean, as a case, I'm sorry, as a case study for President Ford's funeral events, mm-hmm. there was massive ridership.
Right.
But it was a one-time event. So there'd be no reason to start changing definitions on a routine basis because ridership spiked. What I'm trying to get to is that the bigger problem that we've seen going on all year, which was ridership not meeting the budget, is continuing, and from a financial standpoint, it looks like we're not going to be able to maintain subsidy at the budgeted level for year end.
I guess I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about whether the information we're getting gives us a good idea as to what's really going on. If all we're doing is talking about 4 days that are being shifted, then a year from now the problem will go away because we'll do an apples to apples comparison again. Mm-hmm. If what we're talking about is anytime we're providing weekday levels of service, we're going to call that a weekday, or vice versa. If we're not providing weekday levels of service, we'll call that a weekend.
No, we don't want to get into that because it'll just confuse everybody.
All right. And what are the other 2 days that you're going to convert?
The 4 holidays,
Veterans Day, Columbus Day, Presidents, and Martin Luther King holiday were the
okay.
4 days.
Were they already done in earlier reports? Or okay, so by next year, all of this will...
Yes, it should just vanish a year from now. We'll put back on apples and apples.
Okay, thank you.
Discussion, further discussion on this report, further discussion. Thank you very much, Mr. Harkin. The FYOA budget review, status of organizational assessment. Our general manager, Mr. Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you recall back in December, before I accepted the job, I asked that the board authorized that we do a review of the organization from the standpoint of focusing on our core mission as well as to determining if we are as efficient and as effective as possible. We contracted with Gill and Moffitt and Associates, and that report is scheduled to be the final report on April 16th. However, I've been in discussions with him on a weekly basis, sometimes a daily basis, and getting updates because our budget process demands that we do that. We have determined through that process, and I need to clarify, it didn't drill down through the whole organization because the contract was relatively small, to determine that there are some structural issues within the organization that does not allow us to be as efficient as possible in focusing on our mission, and we intend as part of this budget process to fix that. In addition, as communicated to you as well as you have read before, and I've communicated to employees, this budget will include a staffing reduction, changes in the construction department, as well as changes throughout the non-operating, and I say non-operating, I mean bus, rail, and paratransit, and security and law enforcement, changes in the organization, reducing positions. We're in the process of identifying all of those positions within the next couple of weeks. We will complete that process, and before the budget is adopted, notify employees, and we'll notify you, of positions that will be eliminated. There are significant positions. It will allow us to balance this budget, using that reduction as well as one-time revenues. However, it's going to be a very fragile budget, which will require that we look at other revenue enhancements throughout the year, and I need to bring those back to you, inclusive of many options. And so we are moving ahead. We're working on a daily basis. We will have this process, at least this phase, completed in time for the budget. Again, what has come out of this is the need to look further within the organization, and we will continue to do that throughout the fall and bring back any additional recommendations to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cato. I do have one question right off the bat. May we be able to anticipate not only FY08 impacts, financial impacts, but also FY07 financial impacts as a result of these organizational changes?
Well, there are some impacts to FY07, this year's budget, because of the freeze that has been in place. We're frozen positions, and there are several hundred, over 150 administrative positions open, and we're not spending those dollars, and so as a result, that impacts us, but not to the degree of the revenue projections that are less than we assume for the budget, but it does help us from that standpoint. Every dollar saved offsets an additional request for dollars from the jurisdictions.
Well, since staff has just finished advising us that there's going to be a budget overrun anticipated by the next month's report, if I heard that correctly.
Yes. Correct.
It would seem to me that if there are actions that can be taken relating to reorganization that would help us in terms of this overrun, because we've also had reference made to the $10 million in reserve, that would be something that we would want to hear about. And would want to possibly encourage you to take those actions. Since I don't know what the actions are, it's hard for me to be too encouraging. But we do need to be mindful of this projected overrun in our budget, which will become reality in the next month.
And, Mr. Chairman, in the closed session, I will go into a little bit more details of the specifics of that.
Right. But it would be good if we had some benefit in 07 as well as 08. I mean, if you're going to do something for 08, it may make sense to, you know, have it done also in 07. I mean, why linger over these few remaining months with something of that nature? Ms. Hutchins?
I'm sorry I didn't hear the very beginning, but I think I got the gist of where you were going. You talked about the adjustments that needed to be made from a financial standpoint. What about project impact and what will be going on ongoing with the organization in that respect?
From a project standpoint, as Mr. Higgins has mentioned, we've had discussions and we are continuing discussions with all the jurisdictions on projects that are planned, projects that are underway, and working with them for a phase out of our staff support. Those projects that are already began, I mean, the construction has already started, we're going to stay there until that project is done. And that's why it's a phase out over a period of time. The discussion we had this morning concerning the Southeast Garage is still something, as we go through this process, we will determine what staffs will be involved in that and the level of staff that will be involved in that. That degree of specificity on that project has not been determined. Each project is being reviewed to determine will we have fully staffed by Ramada staff, or will we look at some other options in doing that. But all projects that are underway will continue, the ones that are under construction, and we will support those. And if those are completed, we will phase out individuals from Ramada assigned to them. Projects that are planned, we're working with the various jurisdictions, even having discussions with some jurisdictions of their need to have staff and their desire to hire our staff as their employees to complete the projects. So we're working with every jurisdiction on every project and having those discussions.
Well, I guess the approval that we've just done and looking forward to what has already been planned and to be implemented, how do we reflect the consistency? Because I think maybe what we assumed here was that we've now defined a new project, added a new project in, right? And so what does it mean in terms of how that project's going to be implemented versus us going to look back now at projects that we assumed to be part of the metro planning process and making shifts in that?
I will bring you, I understand what you're asking me. I'm not prepared to give you all the detail, but I can assure you that we will treat every project in the similar light based upon, I understand the question, was asking me now. This is considered a, not a new division, but a rebuild, but that's the only terms that you can use. I want to assure you that we will bring back to you the logic that we're using, the detail of how we will assign staff as we go forward in future meetings. The project that you approved earlier is not really, we're not building that yet. But as we move forward, the question will be, how are we assigning staff to that one versus assigning staff to a project in Virginia or a project in Maryland? And my job is to make sure that we're doing the same, using the same logic and process to do that.
I think that's a critical part of the consistency that I think that we would want in order for us to understand and balance what our commitments would be.
I understand.
Our jurisdiction.
Yes.
Further discussion, Mr. Linton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, obviously, we're in the midst of an organizational review, and our general manager has reported back with some highlights of where that's going. And you spoke to budgetary guidance issues and how it impacts the budget. Clearly, when I, and I think with some of the discussions that I offered early on about organizational review, also relates to kind of form and function, looking at overall what it is kind of organization we are creating as a result of this change, and how it's going to work with the business processes of our company, if I may.
So I would very, very much be interested in looking at what is the new WMATA going to look like?
Yes.
How are the business processes that are necessary on a day-to-day going to take place within this new environment? I am of the opinion, and always is of the opinion, that there are opportunities in organizations like that to create a more efficient organization, and I gather that's the direction that we are moving, but I'd like to see how that plays out, what
yes.
it means,
yes.
What's going to change in terms of the functioning of the various divisions, and how they're going to work. So that's something I'd be interested in hearing as the conclusion of this study.
Yes. That's my intent.
Mr. Benjamin?
Mr. Kiddo, I'm assuming, and I'm hearing that there's going to be a substantial change in staffing and potentially a substantial reduction. If that's the case, are the one-time only RIF costs of that included as part of the 08 budget proposal that we're going to receive?
That's something we're looking at, Mr. Benjamin. We're not far enough along in kind of the RIF process to be able to quantify what that is, but it's a charge that could be taken against 07, or it's something that could erode savings in 08.
But we would net them, so we would give you a net number after all those things have been considered.
Okay, if you're already starting to go negative in 07, my presumption is it makes some sense to put it in 08, but it then increases the challenge in the 08 budget. And
right.
I'm just trying to figure out where this is all going to come and how we're going to have to deal with it as well as you. The other part is I understand that there's going to be a substantial revision to what we've already seen as a budget, the documents out. When are we going to see the substantial revision so we have some idea as to how much time we're going to have to review it ourselves and have staff review it?
Go ahead.
No. Next month, Mr. Cato has given you kind of the overview of what we're proposing to recognize some additional revenue, one-time revenues, the deferred revenue that we discussed at length, increasing the percent that we recognize, which is about $12 million, restore some of the service reductions that had been proposed in December. Those would come back into the budget. We're also considering, and John referred to it as a fragile budget, we're considering going without the reserve, the 1% reserve, or recommending to the board that we do that. That's a $12 million item. So those are some of the significant changes that will be proposed next month compared with what was proposed in December when the budget was originally presented.
It's not going to give us much time to digest what sound like some substantial policy issues.
Mr. Chair?
And Mr. Kaufman?
It seems that we're hooking a CIP debate and a staffing debate together, and we need to have that linkage very clear because, you know, I would wager the progress, how far we were along on a bus garage, a vitally needed bus garage in Southeast versus how far along we were on a third parking structure at Vienna. We could have an interesting intellectual debate on that. So I think we have to have a clear understanding that we are talking about both CIP and staff and their contemporaneous, and we need to understand that linkage before we boldly shoot ourselves in the foot.
Let me add to that. As you know, I have the WMATA subsidy budget before me at the council. I'm chairman of the relevant committee, and so we're obviously wondering, you know, how your report on April the 16th may or may not affect the subsidy issues, which are before the jurisdictions. And I don't know what budget we actually have before us at this point. And if there's going to be substantial changes in the budget, and we're not going to see those until the 10th of May, you know, I have to act in our committee before then. So what am I acting on?
I think I can address that. With the changes that will be coming out at the May Budget Committee meeting, I believe we have enough flexibility in the math to hold the jurisdictional subsidies very, very close to what was originally proposed in December. I can't guarantee it'll be exact, but order of magnitude, the district subsidy that was proposed will continue to be the district subsidy.
So there'll be little or no impact on it, or any other jurisdictional subsidy?
Correct.
And how, and in terms of getting the report of your consultant on April the 16th, how will this board be informed of that report?
Well, I'm going to have discussions with you in closed sessions of some more detail, but I will assure that each member of the board gets the entire report and the recommendations.
But the recommendations per se would be before us on May 10th?
Yes. I'm going to discuss some of those recommendations today. Basically, the report is done. It just needs to be fine-tuned. But I'm not ready to send that out yet because of the fine-tuning aspects of it.
But the point is that this board would have to approve the recommendations in that report. That's the point. Okay. And they would be released to the public in advance of that action.
I don't know the answer yet. What you just asked me, you said, will I release a report to the board and to the public in advance of which
action? The board's consideration of the recommendations.
The overall recommendations, yes. It will not get into the specifics of who, what, and where, of which staff position. That's not in this report.
Okay. Is there further discussion on this matter? Further discussion. There's no action on this particular issue. Thank you very much, Mr. Cato. Policy on reserve balance for claims, Mr. Cato.
Yes, I will address this. This is a recommendation by staff for the board to further clarify the existing policy on the reserve balance in our worker comp third-party liability fund. And we're presenting this for information today, and we would bring it back as part of the resolution to adopt the 08 budget for your approval or not at that time. WMATA's self-insured up to $5 million in this fund, meaning that we pay claims up to that limit, and then we have an umbrella policy that would kick in at $5 million. We've only gone to that level one time. We have an actuary that reviews all of this data annually and gives us projections for the coming year, as well as expenditures and reserves. What this chart is pointing out is that as recently as fiscal year 02, there was $75 million in reserve in this fund. That policy changed. That was to reserve for full liability. The policy changed, and that's the one that I'm requesting clarification on. And you can see the reserve coming down continually as we move forward. And as we've discussed several times at the board, we're going to overspend the reserve. We're going to overspend the fund. This is the primary reason that the operating fund, one of the main reasons, let me say, that the operating fund is where it is today. As of right now, we're negative $700,000 in this fund. Go to the next slide, please. We have adjusted the 08 budget. We've significantly increased the contribution to the fund for a total of $29 million. That's an increase of nearly $13 million. The policy that's being proposed is that we maintain a reserve in the fund equal to 20% of the budget year or coming year expenditures. And for the foreseeable future, that will be in the range of $25 to $30 million. So we would have a reserve of $5 to $6 million in the fund. However, the last bullet is very critical. Recent losses may adversely affect the upcoming actuarial report, which will be done at the end of this year. And this is the proposed policy, and on page 35 of your handout, that the policy now states, that this is the part we're seeking clarification on, that the reserve be sufficient to fund the liability for claims expected to be paid in the budget year, as well as a sufficient amount to permit the reserve to pay large claims or foreseeable annual claim variations in any budget year without exceeding the amount available in the reserve. In talking with our actuary, 20% of estimated expenditures is a very common amount to keep in a reserve in a fund of this size. My work experience, I've always used a 20% reserve. Mr. Terry Pfeiffer is here from Aon, our actuarial consultant. If you'd like to discuss this with him, he was instrumental in helping us craft this. We're very comfortable with that level. There's different interpretations of the current reserve. The interpretation that I have and that counsel has, who's actually responsible for this, is that we would need enough money to pay the coming year's claims plus a contingency upon that, which the reading, going back to the words I just read, which would be some $35 million. The 20% reserve, again, would be something in the vicinity of $6 million, and we're proposing that we establish this reserve over 2 to 3 years, and it's 2 to 3 years because depending on what claims come before us in the next couple of years, we may be able to do it sooner than later. If you look at the history of this fund, the projections in the worker comp area have been, by our actuary, have been very accurate. Where the great flexibility or variance occurs is in the third-party liability, and that's gone in recent years from less than $4 million a year to over $8 million a year. There are huge variables there, how many accidents we have, the severity of the accident, the amount of the settlement. So there is very little trending in that type of loss, and hence the variability. To address the workers' comp just a little bit, over the past 2 years, the worker comp total expenditures have actually come down about 9% in the prior 2 years. And as you well know, Mr. Cato has spoken to this. We have completed negotiations to bring in a firm to do a safety audit. This is a 5-year contract that will come before the board. And we have every confidence that that's going to have a significant impact, a favorable impact on the expenditures in this fund. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Zimmerman.
You, a moment ago, can we get that slide back up a little bit? You were reading something that seemed to be different in the wording than the blue that you see there.
Yeah, if, yes, sir. On page, okay, on page 35 of the package, this is the proposed policy, the blue, and on page 35 of the package at the top, this is a copy of the resolution from June 20th, 2002. This is the last policy that the board approved. First paragraph, the midway through, it indicates that the reserve at that time was being changed from a reserve that would fund all outstanding liabilities, hence the $75 million level. And then it was coming down to the words I read, which I won't reread, but they're right there. So I'm proposing we go from that
to the language of this.
Yes, sir.
All right. And you're informing us that that's something you're going to be recommending in the budget we will have ultimately to adopt in June.
Yes.
There's nothing for us to do here today.
No,
this is really just letting us know the direction you're going in, so we'll have a chance for our staff to look at this and get back their own comments.
Absolutely.
And mindful, Mr. Chairman, of your concerns about time management in the meeting, I will hold off on any questions I might have on this.
Mr. Benjamin?
Two questions. One, I wanted to thank Mr. Cato and Mr. Woodruff and your staff for responding to a request for some data on this that I made and that was sent out to all the board members. And what I found most significant and striking in looking at the data is that our expenditures from this reserve stayed in the range of $12 to $15 million through fiscal 03, very stable. Then they did a single jump in 04 and then stayed in the range of roughly $25 million from 04 to 06. And that doesn't strike me as a sudden change in the number of accidents or the number of people who actually had legitimate workers' comp claims. It strikes me more as a management issue, that we are managing those things differently. And I'm wondering whether the contractor that you have coming in is in fact going to be looking at how we used to manage things and how we're managing things now and see if that's something that can cause us to save rather substantial sums of money here. We're talking $10 to $15 million that suddenly came in as expenses that weren't there just a year before.
The contractor will be doing exactly what you described.
Okay. One other comment, and I'm perfectly supportive of what you're proposing. I would just note the interpretation of the people who wrote originally the language that you want to replace would allow you to do exactly what you're doing here. The only thing that you're doing now is you're causing the board to have a tighter control over your budgetary flexibility. So if you want to have more budgetary flexibility, I would recommend staying with your own language. If you want to have us controlling you more tightly, this language is just fine and certainly works.
Well, and I'm very comfortable with this number, and I don't see it as control as much as I do as a target for us to set, us being staff. And, of course, although we have an actuary who gives us numbers and helps us with projections, we review those. We'll monitor this fund as we do everything else. We'll come back to the board quarterly with revisions. The hope would be, of course, that the reserve is sufficient to meet any changes in expenditures during the year so that we would only update or replenish the reserve, update the expenditures, et cetera, in the annual budget process.
Further discussion, Mr. Kaufman?
Just very briefly, in looking at third-party liability, I guess we also have to recognize lead lag times, because as you're looking at setting a prudent policy, you know, dollars we put aside this year, I presume, are tied to claims from many years ago, given the time it takes. So if somebody was to take 2 and 2 and get 16 as opposed to 2 and 4, meaning certainly our recent spate of accidents has been most horrific, and our general manager is working hard to get his arms around it. These dollars relate to items from a number of years ago. You're trying to set us in position for that.
Yes, sir, and that's taken into account in the projections as the actuary firm works with legal counsel, and they work through the scheduling of that. So as best as can be anticipated in any situation like that, we do try to anticipate times when the money would actually be paid out, and as you point out, it generally is several years down the road from the actual occurrence.
Okay, so this is a response to looking ahead at what may be hitting us from accidents years ago.
Exactly right.
Further discussion? Item 5C, I've got to say in all candor that I thought both B and C were action items. And C is another one of those. It's not listed under information item, but it could have been, because again, we're not being called upon to take any action on the living wage strategy for FY08. That's part of the FY08 budget.
Yes, sir.
And since we're not being called upon to take any action, I'd like to put this off until we have the budget before us.
Could I just suggest there are two options as to how this would be treated if the board.
Robert, you see, you want a quasi, you know, action item, you know, and either we can do this as an action item today, and I'm prepared to do it as an action item, or we can do it as an action item when we have the FY08 budget. But I don't think you can have another world category, because it's just, you know, I think we've got another committee which hasn't met yet, and you know, we have an executive session which follows thereafter. It's your pleasure. I mean, I'm going to schedule this. I deal with this right now as an action item. I know the issue. It's a straightforward issue. This board might wish to make a decision on it. You can have it fish or fowl.
It would be my desire to not deal with this today, sir.
That's what I thought. Do you have something to add to the agenda, Ms. Hewlett?
Well, this time I really did have a question about this.
We're putting this off for FY08 budget discussion.
We are putting this off to
The FY08 budget.
Okay. My question was, I didn't understand what was precipitating the delay. And I didn't have the luxury of being here for the prior discussions. I know that it is something that we are, at least, you know, we are very interested in Maryland. I'm sure the other jurisdictions have interest in it, too. I'm just trying to understand what's precipitating.
You weren't interested in it 6 months ago.
Right. We were very interested in this. We continue to be very interested in this. But either we're going to discuss this as an action item or we're not. And it's just been decided that we're not going to discuss this as an action item, which means that any discussion we'd have on this today, we will repeat in May. And, you know, it just seems to have one discussion would be enough.
We can update you on the prior discussion.
I would be very interested.
I can update you on the prior discussion.
Yours will be a great deal of updating.
You'll be still updated. You'll know what.
You'll be thorough. Okay. All right. Did you want to ask a further question?
No, just to let you, just to say that even though I am new to the board and new to this committee, and I think my colleague probably feels the same way, that we are very interested in this, and that may be a change, or may not be a change, but...
I will update you.
It's a sea change.
I anxiously await being updated.
It's a sea change. There's no question about it.
We are very committed in the state of Maryland to this, though. Just for the record.
As are we in the District of Columbia.
Okay.
And Virginia. Now. Okay, great. Thank you very much for your expression of support. We appreciate that. You've seen the items that are scheduled for May and June. I don't suppose there's any need to have any discussion on that. Is there further business to come before the committee? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned at 11:30 on April the 12th. We will proceed directly to our next committee.